Welcome back to the deep dive. I want you to take a second and just look at the date on your phone right now.
Yeah, it's February 20th, 2026.
Right. And if you've been scrolling through your feed for the last 24 hours, you might be feeling a distinct sense of, well, let's call it vertigo.
Vertigo is honestly exactly the right word for it because usually the tech world iterates.
Yeah.
You get a phone that's maybe 5% faster or an app that crashes slightly less.
Sure.
But yesterday it felt like the industry just decided to skip a few chapters and jump straight to the end of the book.
It really did. And we aren't just looking at the news headlines today. We are deconstructing a single, really massive strategic document from the anti-gravity team.
The Tech in Morning Report.
Exactly, the Tech in Morning Report. It's essentially a reverse engineering of the future based on the collision of three massive trends we saw hit all at once.
And it is an incredibly heavy read. The report basically argues that the cloud era, that paradigm we've lived in for the last 15 years, ended this morning.
Just over.
Done. We are moving into something they are calling the agentic economy.
Right. And to get there, we have to look at the three main pillars of this report. First, Google effectively killing the cloud, to put a literal supercomputer in your pocket. Second, a console war that's actually utilizing nuclear energy. We will absolutely get to that.
That's a wild one.
And third, why Nintendo desperately wants to map your living room.
That Nintendo story is arguably the most subversive thing on the entire list because it's wrapped up in something so completely innocent.
We will definitely get there, but we have to start with the ambush. That's what the report calls it.
The ambush,
Because
Daniel.
while everyone was watching OpenAI and Anthropic fight over, who has the bigger data center, Google just entirely changed the battlefield.
Completely. They didn't do a big stage show.
No.
No fireworks, no CEO in a leather jacket on stage. They just quietly dropped a white paper and an API for Gemini 3.1 Pro.
Just out of nowhere.
Right out of nowhere. And the headline feature is a phrase that should honestly terrify their competitors: cloud independence.
So for you listening who might be used to ChatGPT or Claude, explain why this matters. Because right now, if I ask an AI a question,
It zips off to a massive server farm in Virginia or Ireland.
right, it thinks about it and then sends the answer back to my phone.
Exactly. And that round trip costs money. It costs infrastructure, it costs a massive amount of electricity, and it costs time, latency.
It's expensive to run.
It is incredibly expensive. What Google revealed yesterday with Gemini 3.1 Pro is a brand new architecture they're calling NanoTensor.
NanoTensor. Okay, let's unpack that because is this just marketing speak for we made the file a little smaller?
It's a bit more complex than that. Historically, large language models need massive amounts of VRAM, video memory,
Right, to hold all the
to
parameters.
hold all the things they know. NanoTensor essentially compresses the neural network's logic pathways so efficiently that it can run directly on the NPU.
The neural processing unit.
Exactly, the NPU inside a standard smartphone or a standard laptop.
But usually when we hear mobile version of something, we think the dumber version. Like playing a heavy PC game on a phone, it's just never as good.
And that is exactly the breakthrough here. The report highlights a specific benchmark that they basically call the aha moment.
Okay.
This model running locally on a fifth-gen Snapdragon processor, which is basically just a high-end Android phone you can go buy today, analyzed 10,000 lines of code.
10,000 lines.
10,000 lines of code in a single
Oh,
second.
wow. In 1 second.
1 second. And here is the real kicker. It did it completely offline.
Offline.
Airplane mode. No Wi-Fi, zero signal.
That is, honestly, that is really hard to wrap my head around. If it's completely offline, where is it getting the logic to fix the code?
The logic is entirely baked into the weights of the model sitting right there on your local storage. It locates bugs, it offers refactoring suggestions, it checks security protocols without ever pinging a single Google server.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here for a second. Why does the average person actually care if the AI is on their phone or up in the cloud? Is it just about speed?
Speed is a big part of it, sure. Instant response feels like magic. But the real story here is the economics.
How so?
Think about the cost structure. Every single time you ask GPT-5 a question, OpenAI burns a fraction of a cent in compute and electricity.
And that adds up to billions when you have millions of users.
Exactly. Google just pushed that marginal cost down to zero. They offloaded the processing cost entirely to you, the user.
Oh.
It runs on your battery and your chip.
That is brilliant for their margins. But what's the hook for the user?
For you, it is the ultimate privacy shield. The report notes that network security stocks actually dropped 4% this morning.
Really? Just from this announcement?
Just from this. Because think about it. If I'm a bank or a hospital or a massive law firm, I can now use state-of-the-art AI on my highly sensitive documents without that data ever once leaving the building.
It's a completely closed loop.
It is.
It really puts Apple in a massive bind, doesn't it? Because they've been marketing private cloud compute for a while.
Yes.
Basically saying, trust our highly secure servers.
Yeah.
And Google just walked in and said, no, trust no servers.
Precisely. It fundamentally shifts the definition of what a smartphone even is. It's no longer just a terminal that accesses the internet.
Right, it's not a receiver anymore.
It is becoming an inductive reasoning supercomputer. You could be sitting in a submarine miles underwater and still have a top-tier expert coder or a medical diagnostician right in your pocket.
That is such a wild shift. We're moving from accessing intelligence to actually carrying intelligence.
Yes.
But speaking of heavy processing, let's pivot to the living room. Because while Google is trying to be highly efficient, the gaming industry seems to have decided to just brute force reality.
Yes, the console war. It never really changes. It just gets significantly more expensive.
Very true. So Sony's State of Play event happened last night.
Yeah.
They finally showed their cards for the PS5 Pro Max.
Which I still think is a terrible name for a console, by the way.
It is an absolutely terrible name. Pro Max. But the specs are insane.
Incredible silicon. We are looking at custom AMD chips using RDNA 5 architecture, pushing roughly 45 teraflops.
45 teraflops. For context, the original PS5 was, what, about 10?
About 10 teraflops, yeah.
So a 4.5 times jump in raw power. But you know numbers are boring. Let's talk about what they showed. They ran a demo for John Wick: The High Table.
Oh, man.
And the anti-gravity team's report describes the footage as having disturbing realism.
Disturbing is the word. It's the dynamic gunfu AI that really matters here. I know that sounds like total marketing fluff, but technically it is profoundly significant.
Walk us through this, because when we hear AI in games, it usually just means the bad guys know how to take cover behind a wooden box.
Right. It's usually basic logic trees. This is entirely different. This is real-time generative physics.
Generative physics.
In the demo, John Wick shoots a mercenary in the knee. In a normal game, the computer triggers a pre-recorded animation file.
Like Fall Down Animation 03.
Exactly. And it looks exactly the same every single time you see it.
You see it twice, and the illusion completely breaks.
Yes. In this John Wick demo, the fall was calculated in real time based on the specific angle of the bullet, the precise weight of the enemy's body armor, the slope of the floor, and this is the truly crazy part, the friction of the surface.
Wait, what surface was it?
It was a wet ceramic floor.
Wet ceramic? That is oddly specific for a physics engine to care about.
It implies that fluid dynamics are actively interacting with rigid body physics. If you played that exact sequence 1,000 times, the enemy would slip, buckle, and fall 1,000 completely different ways.
Because it's not playing a video.
No, it is simulating a physical reality on the fly.
And the visuals actually match that level of detail, right? They mentioned a Hall of Mirrors sequence.
Hardware ray tracing pushed to the limit. They showed muzzle flashes reflecting off shattering glass, neon lights bouncing off wet blood on the floor, all running at a solid native 4K resolution and 60 frames per second.
And native is the key word there.
Yeah.
Because that brings us directly to the competition. The report also details leaked specs for the new Xbox Elite.
Yes.
And Microsoft is taking a completely different philosophy.
It is the ultimate battle of raw silicon versus algorithmic magic. Sony is betting on big, hot, really expensive chips to render every single pixel authentically.
Yeah, Microsoft.
Microsoft's new Xbox actually has less raw power, but it features a massive NPU dedicated entirely to DirectSR 2.0.
Direct Super Resolution. That's their upscaling tech, right?
Right. So the Xbox might render the internal game at just 1080p.
Which is computationally super easy for modern hardware.
Exactly. And then the AI hallucinates all the extra pixels to make it look like an 8K image.
Wait, the word hallucinates usually sounds really bad when we're talking about precision gaming. Is it noticeable?
That is the $1 trillion question right now. Microsoft is essentially betting that their AI upscaling is now so advanced that the human eye literally cannot tell the difference between a real rendered pixel and a predicted AI pixel.
If they are right, they can sell a much cheaper console that looks just as good as Sony's.
And if they're wrong, things look blurry, weird, and artifact heavy.
So it's brute force versus the brain. Authentic photons versus guest photons.
Exactly.
But speaking of brains, let's talk about the company that usually ignores all of this specs talk completely. Nintendo.
Ah, yes. the Enigma.
While Sony and Microsoft are out here fighting over ray tracing and teraflops, Nintendo just dropped a free app called Hello Mario.
And it hit 50 million downloads in 5 hours.
50 million in 5 hours. It is an absolute phenomenon.
Viral doesn't even begin to cover it.
And on the surface, it's incredibly cute, Brian. You point your phone at your floor, Mario pops out of a green pipe and jumps around your coffee table. My kids were playing it this morning. It looks like magic.
It is very disarming, intentionally so. But the anti-gravity team, the authors of our source report, they didn't just play it. They did a full code teardown.
They decompiled the app.
And what they found inside is, well, it is a masterclass in data harvesting.
The report explicitly calls it a spatial data harvesting engine, which sounds a lot less like a fun game and way more like a surveillance tool.
Because functionally, it is a strategic tool. The code is aggressively accessing the 3D depth sensing SDKs. It's pulling from the LiDAR scanners on the iPhone Pro and the time-of-flight sensors on modern Androids.
Okay, pause for a second. Explain LiDAR and time-of-flight for any non-engineers listening.
Sure. These are specialized sensors on your phone that shoot out invisible laser pulses to measure distance. They bounce back and create a perfect millimeter-accurate 3D mesh of the physical world around you.
They map the exact shape of objects.
Exactly.
So when I am playing Hello Mario and I am aiming my phone at my couch to make Mario jump up on it,
you are laser scanning your living room for Nintendo.
Wow.
You're telling them exactly how tall your couch is, exactly where your coffee table sits, how much open floor space you have, and even the ambient lighting conditions.
But why?
Yeah.
Why does Nintendo need to know the layout of my apartment in Chicago?
Because of the Switch 2, or whatever their next major hardware platform ends up being. The rumors have been swirling for years about augmented reality.
Right.
And the single biggest technical hurdle with AR is something called occlusion.
Occlusion, meaning hiding things.
Exactly, hiding things. If Mario jumps behind your physical couch, he needs to disappear from your screen.
Right, because if it's bad AR, he just floats on top of the couch like a cheap sticker and the illusion is ruined.
Exactly. It looks fake. To make him disappear correctly in real space, the computer needs to know the exact 3D geometry of your specific couch so it can actively mask him out.
So instead of sending out fleets of cars like Google Maps to scan the streets,
they are using 50 million loyal fans to crowdsource the laser scanning of their own private homes.
That is just evil genius.
It is a brilliant Trojan horse. You think you are playing a fun AR toy, but you are actually actively building the world's largest database of indoor private spaces.
That puts Niantic's Pokemon Go data completely to shame.
Oh, totally. Pokemon Go just knew that you were standing at a public park. Mm-hmm. This knows that you have a sectional sofa and an IKEA coffee table.
And we all just gave that spatial data to them entirely for free.
For the price of a jumping plumber.
Incredible. It really is a masterclass in crowdsourced machine learning.
Yes.
Okay, let's zoom way out for a minute. We have covered the offline AI phone in your pocket and the physics engine console in your living room. But none of this works without immense power.
Right.
And the Tech and Morning report drops a number in its fourth section that actually made me stop reading for a second. $650 billion.
That is the committed capital expenditure, the CapEx, for the Big Tech Alliance by the end of 2026.
Wow.
We're talking Amazon, Google, Meta, and Microsoft.
$650 billion. That sum is larger than the GDP of what, like 160 different nations?
Easily. It is a staggering, almost incomprehensible amount of capital. And the real question you have to ask is, what exactly are they buying with it?
Chip's right. Just buying up all the NVIDIA stock?
That is a big part of it, of course. But the source highlights a critical and fundamental shift: energy.
Energy.
They aren't just buying electricity from the grid anymore. They are actively becoming power providers.
The report specifically mentions SMRs, small modular reactors.
Nuclear power. These new AI models, like the ones Sony is using for game physics or Google is using to train NanoTensor, they require massive data centers that consume as much raw power as a mid-sized city.
Wow.
The public power grid simply cannot handle that kind of load.
So we are actually seeing Microsoft and Google effectively becoming their own utility companies with autonomous nuclear capabilities.
It is literal nation-state-like behavior. They are securing total energy independence to fuel what the report calls the agentic economy.
Right, the agentic economy. Mm-hmm. This is the third main pillar of the report, and honestly, arguably the most complex part of all this. It centers around the launch of DX Terminal Pro.
February 24th. That is the launch date.
It's described in a report as a decentralized exchange where human beings are explicitly prohibited from trading.
Correct. It is a strict, no humans allowed market.
Walk me through this. How on earth does a financial economy work without people?
Okay, imagine you are a major video game developer. You launch a highly anticipated multiplayer game. Suddenly, a million players log in all at once.
Your servers are immediately crashing.
Right. In the old world, which is basically today's world, a human engineer gets a pager alert at 3 a.m. They wake up, they log in, they manually spin up more AWS servers, and they swipe a corporate credit card.
Right. It's manual, it's slow, and somebody loses a lot of sleep over it.
Exactly. In the agentic machine-to-machine economy, the server itself, the AI agent managing that game, realizes it's getting overloaded.
Okay.
It instantly connects to the DX terminal. It finds another AI agent on the network, maybe one owned by a solar farm in Nevada that happens to have excess compute power right now.
Oh, wow.
It autonomously negotiates a rate for that bandwidth, executes a smart contract, and pays for it instantly in stablecoins.
All of that in, what, milliseconds?
In milliseconds. No human woke up. No human approved the transaction. No human swiped a card. The machines traded resources, energy, code, bandwidth entirely among themselves.
That $650 billion investment makes a lot more sense now. It's the entry ticket to control the infrastructure of this automated layer.
Exactly. We are moving rapidly toward a world where the velocity of money accelerates far beyond human comprehension.
Right, because if machines are trading with machines, the economy literally never sleeps.
And it doesn't wait for a middle manager's approval.
But this raises a huge philosophical and structural question about our role. If the machines are doing all the buying and the selling and the negotiating, where do we fit in? Are we just observers?
That is the exact structural risk the report flags. We will get to that in the conclusion. But first, we really have to touch on the currency of this new world.
Right.
Because if humans aren't swiping Visa cards, what is actually being traded?
The report mentions the crypto markets, but not at all in the traditional Bitcoin is digital gold kind of sense.
Right. Bitcoin is hovering around $150,000 right now, and the volatility has completely collapsed.
It's a massive asset, but it's boring now.
It's boring. It's just the standard global collateral. The real story, the smart money rotation is entirely into compute as a resource.
Explain that concept a bit more.
Think of it as DPIN, decentralized physical infrastructure networks. If big tech has a $650 billion monopoly on nuclear-powered servers, how do you as a startup even compete with that?
You can't, not directly.
Right, so you decentralize. You pool resources from the absolute edges of the network.
So all these idle devices we have just sitting around in our houses.
Exactly. The report highlights three specific projects leading this charge. First is Render, R-N-D-R. It's basically Airbnb for graphics cards.
So if my new PS5 Pro Max is just sitting idle while I'm at work, I could theoretically rent it out.
Theoretically, yes. You lease your idle GPU processing power to someone halfway across the world who needs to train an AI model. Render is actually up 40% on this news alone.
That's huge.
Then you have ICP, the internet computer. They are trying to run these massive AI models entirely on the blockchain, making them completely uncensorable and decentralized.
And the third one was Bittenser.
Yes, Bittenser. T-A-O.
It's described as a marketplace for intelligence. What does that mean?
It's an auction house where machine learning models actively compete to answer prompts. The model that provides the best answer gets paid in tokens. It is a massive coordinated attempt to break the OpenAI and Google monopoly by crowdsourcing the global brain and financially rewarding the best individual nodes.
So the most valuable resource in 2026 isn't just money or data, it's hash rate.
Processing power is the absolute oil of 2026. If you have the chips and you have the energy to run them, you hold the power.
It really connects everything we've talked about today, doesn't it?
Google
moving AI to the edge saves them massive amounts of hash rate.
Yes.
Sony using AI for physical game environments requires a ton of hash rate. And Nintendo harvesting all that environmental spatial data feeds the underlying understanding that these AIs desperately need.
It is a total, complete restructuring of the digital landscape.
Truly.
We have three incredibly clear themes from this Tech and Morning report. One, local offline processing. Two, environmental data harvesting. And three, autonomous machine-to-machine economies.
And the report ends with a very specific challenge to the reader, or, you know, in our case, the listener.
It does. It bluntly asks, are you going to passively let these machines absorb your expertise, or do you actively learn to supervise them?
The supervisor class.
That is the ultimate pivot. The human role in the global economy is shifting away from doing the work, writing the code, drawing the R, managing the server, to supervising the agents that do the work.
It sounds like a major promotion, but it also sounds like an awful lot of people getting left behind if they don't adapt quickly.
It is a brutal transition point. If you don't understand how to direct these software agents, or if you don't understand the flow of capital in this machine-only infrastructure, you're just watching the economy happen without you. You become a mere bystander.
And in a world where your phone is an inductive supercomputer and your console is a nuclear-powered physics engine, being a bystander might just be the default setting if we aren't paying attention.
Passive consumption versus active direction. That is the fundamental choice the report leaves us with.
Which is something to really chew on while you wait for your PS5 Pro Max to render that wet ceramic floor.
Or while you scan your entire living room for Mario. Just maybe remember who is actually looking through the lens.
Always good advice.
Yeah.
But, you know, thinking about this whole agentic economy where machines are trading with machines in milliseconds, it brings up a wild thought that wasn't even in the report.
Oh, what's that?
If AI agents are buying compute and energy from each other across borders using decentralized crypto without human intervention, how does human law even apply? I mean, how does a government tax a transaction that happens in a millisecond between two autonomous algorithms?
That's a huge blind spot.
Right. If the entire primary engine of our macro economy eventually happens invisibly between machines, we might find our human legal and tax systems completely obsolete. We could essentially become dependents of an algorithmic financial system, just living off whatever digital exhaust it decides to allocate to us.
That is a deeply unsettling thought to end on.
Well, that is it for this deep dive into the future. Next time, we are going to get super technical on that leaked Xbox NPU chipset and see if algorithmic magic can really beat raw rendering power.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Thanks for listening. Stay curious.